Can I ask those who remain, now, can I ask you just to stand, please? And get your Bibles. Since we are making proclamations this morning, I'd like us to make another proclamation and continue. Turn to the book of Jude. Just one chapter. The book of Jude, starting at verse 24 of Jude. I want you to change the word for you or our to my. So this is, I'll read it to you. To him who is able to keep you, put your word me in there. So this is a personal declaration you're making. Okay? After three, let's do it together. No, I know there's different versions, but just read what your version says. Okay? One, two, three. To him who is able to keep me from falling and to present me before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, my Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, my Lord, before all the ages, now and forevermore. Amen. You please be seated. I announced last week that as I was speaking in this current part of our series on gratitude of attitude, I'm going to take my time because there's some things I really want you to grasp. And I'm not in a rush. I don't mean I'm not in a rush to finish this morning. I'm talking about in the series. To some degree, we are governed by time, and we should be. But in other times, when the Holy Spirit is doing things, time is not an issue for us. However, I want to keep making my emphasis so the seriousness of what God is saying to us is felt. How many of you believe there must be a weight of God's word? God's word is not a suggestion. If you treat it like it's a suggestion, you'll never feel its weight. Hello? The Ten Commandments were not called the Ten Suggestions. They're called the Commandments. They're instructions given. And as I read my Bible, I'm reading instructions. I'm not reading suggestions. I'm not reading opinions. I'm reading God's word. That's what makes it living. An opinion is not living. Truth is living. So I read my scriptures and encourage you to read as if God is, not as if, but he actually is, speaking to me. And what can I glean from what he's saying? What do I need to take away and put into place? What do I need to surrender? What do I need to submit? That only comes to me when I realize that God is giving me instructions. That's why food is not just food to make me feel good. Food is when I take the instruction and I feed on that. Amen? So when I initially started this series, this was the scripture God spoke to me about. I launched from the book of Jude. And as I read it again this week and the Holy Spirit prompted me, go back to Jude, because this was the reason I spoke to you to speak to my people. And I reminded you, Tony, that the God who is able to keep you from falling is the reason why you stand before me and you should acknowledge me and you should appreciate and give thanks for the one who has kept you from falling. Yes? And what he was saying to me is because in this whole concept of what I've just said then is I want you to recognize you have a source. And when you have a source, the one who keeps you from falling needs to be acknowledged and appreciated and given thanks for. But in order for you to do that, you need that attitude of gratitude. And that is in it. That's the what we're saying in essence. That when you recognize there's a source, everything you've ever received in life come from a source. But if you can't acknowledge and appreciate that, then you'll have the wrong attitude and it'll never develop into thanksgiving and you'll never celebrate the goodness of God coming to your life. You acknowledge that? There's a primary source. My primary source, physically speaking, was my mother and father. They produced me. My mother gave birth to me. She carried me. But guess what? There was a source beyond my mother and father. He saw me before I was in my mother's womb. He's the one who gives life. He gave mom and dad the ability to create me. Wow. Everything good, everything constructive, everything positive has a source. Just like everything negative, everything destructive has a source. It's called a bad attitude. And Jude recognizes this as he's in his opening line, to him who is able to keep you. Who's him? Well, he mentions who he is. From falling, and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And then he goes to the only God, our Savior. That's the source. Right there. And Jude is saying, this is our primary source that needs to be acknowledged, appreciated, and given thanks to. Amen? This is the primary source. So everything good, everything positive, everything constructive in your life has a source. And God says, I want you to think about that source and stay with that source. Because if that source has been a life source to you, why would you quit? Why would you quit? If I plug something in that socket here, and it doesn't supply the power, do I stay with it? What do? I go and find another source of supply and stay with it. Many of you will switch your energy provider. Why? Because they don't supply you with a good price. And you will switch until you find somebody who meets your affordability. Amen? And that is the great dilemma we all of us have right now. But you know, when I consider this, I stand before you and I stand before heaven and I thank God. If Carol was here today, she's not well today, so if she was here today, she would stand with me and we thank God because God has enabled us to stand and not fall. God has enabled us as a house to stand and not fall. When there are so many ministers, ministries and churches falling, God has enabled us. Does God love me any more than them? No. No. But those who cling to worthless idols or worthless desires will end up in trouble. But God has enabled me. That doesn't mean to say I've done nothing about this. I've had to work with what God's given me. I've got my responsibility as well. You know, people say, oh, there for the grace of God go I. They fell and you didn't. And you think, well, you got something they didn't get. No. It's all about choices and decisions and working with what God gives you. Always remember as the pastor, as I'm speaking just as the pastor now, there are things I've experienced over this side that you haven't. That doesn't make me better. Just means I've got some experience that you haven't. You've got experience in areas I don't have. Yeah? But that experience means I've seen some things, heard some things, witnessed some things, and experienced things, good, bad, and indifferent. Would you agree with that? And when I say thank God, last week I told you and gave you some insight about the churches. But I thank God that we've not become one of those. Now, some of you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. And I'm going to enlighten you. Because when we stand here and think what you take for granted, some of us haven't. What you choose as an option, we choose as our priority. And we've had to make that choice. And because we've made that choice, we're still here today. Some people will decide, I won't go for the next 6 weeks. And you'll rock up, you'll turn in. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, we're fine. I've just been busy. I can't make that choice. Why? Not because I'm the pastor, because my spirit won't let me do that. For you, it might be an option. For me, it's not. You say, well, you're the pastor. That's not to do with it. I need to stand in front of you as people and be honest and true with you and not stand here wishing I wasn't here. One thing you can always guarantee when I'm here, I'm here. I stand with, and I, you know, I'm the only one who believes everything I say. And I don't say that as a joke. I generally believe everything I'm saying. Why say it if you don't believe it? I might be wrong, but don't tell anybody. The leadership here and its continuance has been something of an issue over the years. When I say leadership, I don't just mean us. I mean leadership through its history. There's been many faces. Many faces. And there was a time in our history where leaderships have come under siege. The wolves were at the door. Wolves were at the door. Witches were in the church. And we've had every kind of... Do you remember those days, David? And days before us. And there used to be this thing. Thank God it used to be. Everybody say used to be. And I say this seriously. There used to be a thing in this church. Every 7 years, immorality would break out in leadership. You only need one pastor, one elder, to end up in immorality, and the whole church can be gone. And every 7 years, there was this glitch. Until God showed me. Until we went to war and broke it. And we cut the history off of the church. We cut the snake off that kept appearing in the church every 7 years. Then we had a time where the elders changed the locks on the pastor. So the pastor could not get in the church. They changed the locks because there was contention in the ranks. We've had times when two pastors were almost fighting upstairs over who was going to lead. And the stronger one won, and the weaker one left. We've had all kinds of issues. Elders and pastors fighting for the continuation of the church. You wouldn't believe that stuff went on, but it did. Why? Because people are people. Now you go down, you might be downstairs, and I think, and they preached a message and they smiled. Yeah, but God knew, and the enemy knew what was going on behind the scenes. And there was a contention for the continuation of the church. You can go to another place, but then God loses a representation on the earth. Sad, tragic, but true. And it's happening every day, somewhere. And everywhere. Tragic stories. Through our history, I said this to Phil last night. As I was writing this, I thought, oh, there's a title for a book here. In our history, John, we've had rebels, we've had revolts, and we've had revolutions. There's a title for a book right there. Rebels, revolts, and revolution. And depending which part of the history you were attached to, I think Gwen's been attached to all of them, haven't you, Gwen? She's seen them all come and go. Wish me luck as you waved them goodbye. Here I go, cheerio, on my way. Was you here at the foundation of the earth? Thank God we've got foundations here. I don't mean that stuff you put on your face, I mean. There have been accusations, gossip and slander and lies told. And there have been many Sunday dinner executions. Sat round the table, carving the pastor's message up as the family gathered around the table for lunch. It's okay. We're still here. Now unto him who is able to keep us, to keep me from falling. You better be called into the ministry because you'll get called in it. Right? You better be called into it because you'll get called once you take hold of it. That's okay. And I was saying to Phil, I've done a list of all the pastors. I'm number 10 in line. I'm number 10. I'm the 10th pastor. I'm the longest serving pastor. Our made it. The goodness of God. I'm the longest serving pastor. Now unto him who was able to keep me from falling. I'm not better than the rest. This isn't Tina Turner standing up here. This is me saying, I'm the 10th in line for the throne. And this is, I am celebrating, this is my 25th anniversary of ministry this year. Now unto him who is able to keep me from falling. And God's given me good people to assist me. Because good people try to destabilize us. But good people, or not good people who went wrong, some people try and destabilize you and they think they're doing God a favor. They know that, don't you? Well, so it's the 25th. Now, when I look at Bible numbers, it's called numerology. Numerology in the Bible, every number has a meaning and a significance. The number 10. Number 10, here I am. So you can say I'm number 10. I'm not the Prime Minister, but I'm number 10. Number 10 in the Bible means law, order, and government. And I think that's what God has done with my leadership. I definitely took over in a time of chaos. I was part of the chaos. I wasn't the result of it, but I was part of it. And I think, when I look at the pastors, I think there's three of our pastors that I can remember, only three, took it and kept it without fighting for anything. I've never fought for this thing in my life. But once I was in it, I fought to keep the direction of the house. I've never fought for my position. Never, ever have I fought for my position. I believe the God who called me will keep me. I've never asked for a pay rise. I've never even discussed my wages. These boys will tell you that. The God who called, the God who ordered the meal is still paying for it. Now unto him. I told my father-in-law when I came into the ministry, the God who called me will keep me. Because he was concerned. I just lost £20,000 of my wages coming into the ministry. What about these kids? And I say to my father-in-law, you've seen me travel around the world. You've seen me do things. Have I ever come to you for money? No. The God who ordered the meal is still paying. Now, on to him. You decide who the him is. You decide who your primary source is, and he'll keep you. I said, you decide. I know who my primary source is. You decide who your primary source is. And here's the thing. Watch this. Go back to this scripture. Here's the issue. Now unto him who was to keep you from falling. Don't just stop there. Because that's the headline. That's the Sky News headline. He's kept me from falling. No, 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 no. Don't just stop there. You're going to miss what is significant. You need to listen to this. Here is the issue. Are you ready for this? Because when contention comes and trouble comes, the first thing that happens is it takes you out of the presence. It takes you out of the presence because no longer do you feel worthy to step back into it or feel you've got the guts to go back for it. Before his glorious presence, God's keeping you in his presence. What did he say to Satan? Get out of my presence. You're no longer allowed back in it. Satan was cast out. People think that Satan can just go appear in front of God's presence every day. No, he can't. That veil was closed. That door was closed to him. You and I can come in his presence, but you can only stay there by relationship. So he says, he was able to keep you before his glorious presence without fault. There's the next level. You can't kill a brother, go in the presence and stand in the presence without fault. Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? No, but I can hear his blood crying. Some of us, when we stand in the presence of God, God can hear the blood of the people that we've been killing. Without fault and with great joy. Can I stand here, keep standing here with joy and without fault? That is the grace of God right there. To be able to stand in his presence in front of the people with great joy. Sometimes it's not been easy, but I've always believed it's the right thing to do. To the only God, our Savior, my Savior, and his, my response, be glory, power, and majesty through Jesus Christ. My God, before all ages, now and forevermore. So the issue is if God's going to keep you from falling, that's one thing. But he keeps you from falling so you can stay in his presence. And if you stay in his presence, you'll keep appearing before him with joy. That was worth the money this morning, wasn't it? That was worth getting out of bed for. If we concluded the message today and went home now, that was worth coming. Can you understand why you need an attitude of gratitude? I fully understand it. I'm preaching my way into understanding, by the way. I'm preaching my way into understanding because every time I stand up and speak, God gives me understanding as I'm speaking. I see the significance. I prepare things, but as I speak, understanding comes to me as I'm speaking. It's a beautiful place to be in. So, rebels, revolts, and revolutions. I think I've been a rebel. I know what it's like to be a rebel. To stand against. And God had to deal with me severely. I know what a revolt has been like. Not all revolts lead to revolutions. Revolutions are different from a revolt. A revolt brings change. Sorry, a revolution brings change. National change. A revolt can just be you stand against something. A rebel is a disobedient person. I've been that person. Thank God. He saved and forgave me for that. I've stood against some decisions. But thank God, God's allowed me to bring revolutions. And I still need to bring revolutions. So, in life and in leadership, there is a summit. I don't mean a meeting. There's a high place. And at every summit, there's also a descent. Do you understand what I just said? There's a summit in your life. There's a high point. There's a high point in your life. And there is a beginning or a downward trend. See, if you're at the beginning and you look up, that's the ascent and that's the summit right up there. But once you've reached the top, it could be classed as interpreted as declined. You're coming down. In the Christian walk, you start and you continue. There is no coming down. In the Christian walk, we look, set our eyes upon him, and we walk and we keep climbing. There is no summit. There is no descent. There is just climb. Just keep climbing. Heaven is, I guess, is the final summit. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to get anywhere near where I want to go this morning. I've realized that now as I'm standing here talking to you. Time is my greatest enemy on a Sunday morning. It means there's always more for next week. Do you know what I do? I prepare all week, and then when I come to speak, I get to speak a quarter, and then I don't use what I prepared. Why? Because I like to have the meal fresh. We don't microwave it. Oh, that'll save. We'll just bring it out on Sunday morning. No, that's a week old, that food. That's just me. I don't like yesterday's food. We were having this conversation the other day. Oh, leave that. Put it in there. We can have microwave it tomorrow. No, no, no. No. Microwaves are from the devil. God gave us fire, not rays. That's just the gospel according to PT. Luke chapter 10. Jesus returned, verse 17. Jesus returned with joy. That wasn't the person. He returned with joy. Yeah. And said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. The 72 return with joy. Not Jesus, sorry. The 72 return. Not Jesus. The 72. Let me correct my doctrine there. Or Phil will have me. Jesus, no, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Where was he? Where was he? Where is he now? He's not there, he fell. So he's no longer at the summit. He's no longer at the summit. He fell. He lost his position. He's never going back. Watch this. And I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, don't rejoice. The spirits submit to you. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I don't want you stopping and camping here. This is not the summit. This is not the summit. You casting the devil out is not the place to camp. So many Christian ministries camp around deliverance. Is it needed? Yes. But we don't camp there. That's not the summit. Jesus was saying, now think about this for a second. We're in a financial turmoil, aren't we, at the moment, the nations, because of what's going on. And it's not just a war. The war's accelerating something, but financial turbulence has been around and destabilization's been going on before even COVID. We know that. But when a football club or a million-pound organisation, which is probably the same thing, or a local church plateaus, what does it do when it reaches the plateau stage? More often than not, some people try to maintain that position, but generally speaking, decline sets in. Decline sets in. The moment you reach a plateau. So difficult to keep going from, let's put a biblical word, from glory to glory. He didn't say go to glory. He go from glory to glory. It's not the finish. There's continuation. It's continuation. Most organizations don't continue. They plateau, they go into decline, and do you know what happens when you hit decline? You then come to the place called expired. You can expire. Your usefulness to the plans and purposes of God expire because you're on a downward trend. You're going the wrong way. You're not going from glory to glory. You are now descending. You maintain and you lose energy and you lose strength and you go backwards, but because you keep doing the same things, you think you're going forward. And I'm holding the faith, but in reality, you're going the wrong way. I pass Christians every year going the opposite way, and you do. Some are declining, some are ascending. And you pass them in church. You might be sat next to one right now. Someone who is in ascending in their faith and someone who is descending. Trouble and hardship can do that. Because the first thing what we've already just established, the moment you get to trouble, it takes you out of the presence. And the presence takes you into decline. Oh. Why do you think the most difficult thing for Christians is to hear the voice of God? And because they don't hear the voice of God, or because they don't know how to hear the voice of God, it quells them from going into the presence of God because it's not worth it. Prayer, private prayer with God and worship is the Christian's biggest struggle half the time. Some people can't even maintain a prayer life. It's gone quiet now in this church, hasn't it? You cannot ascend if you don't have those things. These are key tools. When you go walking or hiking, at least have a pair of boots on. Get a rucksack, because the weather will change. The higher you go up, the more resistance there is. So that's why people want to stay at base camp. Base camp's called church. But you've got to get out of these doors and live life. And the whole idea is that you've got all the supplies in here to go out and ascend. But most people can't even get through the door. Can't retain what they've received beyond the door. Oy. So, Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning. That's a good thing. The dude's no longer in his position. Yeah? And he says it, and he's saying in this scripture to his disciples, boys, I understand you're all quite chirpy right now. But we're not camping here, son. We're not camping here, guys. This is not the finishing place. You've realized that the software works. The authority of my name works. And the demons submit, but we're not camping here. Don't stop. He's saying, guys, focus. Focus. We still haven't reached the summit. There's still a kingdom to be advanced. There's still difficulties ahead. There's still persecution. There's trouble ahead. Guys, focus. And this is what he's saying in this scripture. Don't think you've reached the summit because you get some breakthrough and joy. You haven't got a ministry because the devil comes out. Did I just speak to somebody then? You don't become a preacher because somebody asks you to share. Don't stop here. There's more. Keep going. We haven't reached the summit. I don't care if you're retired. Get refired. Don't come back down the mountain. Keep going. Keep climbing. You want to put a sign on your fridge magnet? Here's one for you. Don't plateau. Not platy. Plateau. Not gatto. No gatto. No plateau. Yeah, there's a great statement for you. Eat too much gatto, you will definitely plateau. And then you'll each decline. Then you get fatto. All right, this is going on now, isn't it? It's going round and round. We don't plateau. We don't want to reach. Listen, when I hear those words, well done, good and faithful, I know I finished. Yeah? Every organization and institution enjoys a moment of success. Some enjoy long periods. And I was saying to Phil only last night, I've been writing this week on holding silent funerals. Silent funeral. You've all been to one. But I'm not going to tell you what it is beyond that. A silent funeral. I've certainly preached to a few congregations that felt like it was in a silent funeral. Every organization has to make sure it doesn't plateau. It has to keep adapting. It has to keep changing. It has to keep maneuvering. It has to keep abreast with markets that are changing, people that are changing. It's a challenge to keep going. Full vision. Fulfill the goals, the mission. Keep going. How many companies that won once high street names are no longer there? Woolworths. British Home Stores. Debenhams. There's loads. What happens when they call your name out? What happens if they say the Dream Center? Do you remember that church? No, there's so many churches that have gone absent outside of the community, and the community doesn't even know they no longer meet. Because as long as the building stays there, they keep thinking, oh, there's something going on in there. And the church is the only business that goes out of business and operates like it still thinks it's in business. The summit. Not summit. Summit. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Now, you see, when you're young, all you can see is the summit. So I look at young Sam here now because he's young and he's in front of me. He works hard at school, and there's millions of Sams, by the way. This is not just Sam here. He goes to school, does well, goes to college, does even better, and now university. Right, now university is the next challenge. So it's incremental. School, college, uni, then they get a job. And it's the point once they get the job that they think all the mission's fulfilled. But it's not. Getting the job wasn't the goal. Getting the job was not the goal. There's more. Jobs will change. You can lose jobs. Does all your identity go if you lose a job? It does if your identity is behind your job. There's more, guys. How many people change lanes? Change careers? How many of our older folks carried on all your life doing what you're qualified to do? Many of us change lanes. I started off in furniture. Then went to printing. Then went to pastoring. I said to the Lord, I'm not changing again. Oh, you will change, son, but just not in that way. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the summit. Not that is the attitude, not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect. Any of you made perfect? But I press on. I press on to take hold. Here's the reason now. For that which Christ took hold of me. Now there, just stop there for a second. Let me play with this for a second. Stand up, Paul. Let me use an illustration, if you will, please. Here's Paul. He's a Christian. Everybody say hi, Paul. He's a nice Christian. Paul's got dreams, aspirations in his life. Right? Has Paul got dreams and aspirations in his life? Right. But right now, he's just a single lad. Well, no, he's not single. He's married, but he's a lad that's got... Well, he's a single man stood right here, isn't he? He's an individual stood here. Okay, not single. He's a young lad that's got dreams and aspirations, goals. He's got Christ. But carry on walking, Paul. But he never seems to get any closer to me. Because I'm Christ in this illustration. Right? Keep walking around. Keeps walking around and never seems to get any closer in his dreams and in his desires. And he's getting weary and time's passing by. He's getting older. See? Well, I tell you what, the decline in this place is rapid, isn't it? Now, stop there, Paul, because I can see you're getting old and weary. Why is he not getting any closer? I'm glad you asked. No. Because Christ was never able to take hold of him. Paul says, I take hold of him because Christ took hold of me. Now, if we do this, now he's taking Christ everywhere he goes. Now, let me ask you this question. Okay, Paul, you acted really well then. You might get in David Warrington's movie. Let me ask you this question. I wish you had one here, but and it's something the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit. Has everyone got a future in here? Yes. You all agree you've got a future. Liars! Right. Thank you. Let me ask you, just close your eyes a second, see your future. Look at your dreams. Think about your dreams. Like you have a play. Some of you are on the beach right now. Some of you are in a penthouse. Some of you are driving a Ferrari right now. Some of you just won the lottery. Some of you are asleep. You close your eyes. When I click my fingers, you'll all wake up again. You'll all be millionaires, okay? Now, open your eyes. Now, let me ask you one significant question, what you've just seen. How much of Christ was in your future? How much of Christ was in your future? Oh, you all visualize being somewhere, doing something, obtaining something. I didn't ask you that. Where was Christ? Was Christ still on the shore? Saying, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. You've just left me. You've just left me. You pursued your dream, but you did not take me or consider me in your future. Let me tell you this. There is no viable future without Christ. Because you've already told me he's the primary source. If he's your primary source and you're dreaming about a future and there's no Christ, he's not your primary source. So, not that I've already obtained all this, but one thing, or not that I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Giving your life to Christ did not mean he took hold of you. It should, but it doesn't. If Christ is going to take hold of you, then he's got a vessel he can work through. And only then, do you and Christ become a partnership. Paul makes this. He took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul, you're the apostle. Paul, you're busting up territories here like crazy. You're turning the world upside down. And you telling me you've not yet already taken hold of this. Because he's saying, I haven't reached the summit. What you might consider success and a camping place and a stopping place, I don't. Because this is not what fully he took hold of me for. He didn't just take hold of me to cast a few demons out. Boys, focus. What did I take hold of you for? Everyone must be able to answer that for their lives. And you must keep walking and walking and walking and walking and walking and keep walking. Why? Because you have not reached the summit. So he says, I do not yet consider myself to have taken all of it, but one thing I do. Well, this is the key, forgetting what's behind. Why? Because I'm not going that way. That's called descent. That's called backwards. That's called the wrong way. I pass people every day, Paul's saying, going the wrong way. There is a highway to holiness. Keep walking it. And he says, forgetting what is behind. One thing I have... I do not consider myself to have taken up, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind doesn't mean to say he's become forgetful. It means I deliberately, determinedly, have said goodbye to it. That's what he's saying. I'm actively using my will to say I'm not going back there again. Straining, forgetting what is behind me. Straining towards what is ahead. Straining means effort, difficulty. I'm putting effort into this thing. It's not easy. But I'm determined. That's the only way I can go. Not that way. So Christ must, and I must keep allowing Christ to take hold of me, and I must take hold of Christ. Why? I need to be in his presence every day for that to happen. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenwards in Christ. There's the summit. Heavenwards in Christ. In Christ is the summit. Hello? In Christ. Doing what God's called you to do. Partnering with him. Him laying hold of your life. This is the summit. This is where all the contention takes place in your Christian life. Trying to keep hold on to the things of God. Because of your desires, because of the opinions of people and the perceptions of people and the projections of life, and because of the destabilizing forces around us, all these things conspire to remove you out of his presence. And there you find you are now going the wrong way, but you are pursuing a career, but Christ is not there. And you can tell yourself, he's with me, he's with me, he's opening up doors. Time will tell. Time will tell. Never find yourself getting to that place where you're talking about the good old days. The good old days is proof you've expired. The good old days is proof you've descended. You've come off the summit because now you're looking back to your peak moments. Don't ever talk to me about the good old days. Doesn't mean say you can't have memories. But they weren't the good old days. They were good and they may have been old. But they're not the best days. Don't talk about them as if they're the best days. I understand if we talk about last time United won a trophy, that was a good old day for them. I understand that. He's got a good memory, Z. That cabinet of theirs is getting a bit misty down there, isn't it? I knew the pendulum would swing eventually. And God would give me, like Samson, let me put me those pillars one more time, Lord. Let me just say one more time. And if you're a Tottenham fan, you've never seen any silverware, so. Your day's coming, Paul. Hopefully your day never comes. Football-wise, that is. You've got to think of the poor lad and he's never seen anything.
I'm leaving what's behind and pressing on.
Even the mask. Yeah. I thought you did that while out lane. Anyway, let me get on. You expire when you talk about the good old days. For those who are listening on audio, what's about football? You expire. Because now you're talking, you're going back to the days when you peaked. Yeah, there were good moments. But they weren't the best moments. And for some people, they just might be your best moment. But it doesn't mean to say you're finished and there's no more moments left for you. Get back on the horse and keep going the way you should have gone. Don't camp around your good moments. There is no church called the Church of Nostalgia. Okay? The good old days. You know, in a few weeks' time, I'm about to climb Ben Nevis. Done it before, I'm going to do it again. Paul's taking Timothy up the mountain with him in case he needs to carry me back. We're going to do Ben Nevis. Now, I've done it before, but I was 10 years younger. Right? I know climbing up that mountain, the ascent up that mountain, you've got to keep focused. But you know, descent is harder than climbing. Because it's more painful as well. Because you're using different muscles. Now, if I've got to carry him halfway down there, you'll never hear the end of it. So take a big rucksack. Why? You might be carrying me in there. Phil might be my Sherpa. Descent is painful. God does not want you to have descent. Not descent as in trouble, but descending. Why? Because the summit is only one way. Don't peak. Keep going. Don't peak. Keep going. Don't peak. Keep going. This is not peak. There's such a thing as peak time. You, each man has to realize what's peak time in his life and use peak time to maximize what God is saying, doing, and how he's moving. Use that time. Because there's a time for everything. It's called peak time. But don't peak out of time. Stay in tune. Stay in time. Stay in line. Stay on course. Stay focused. Do not peak. We have a lot of work to do as a church. We have not yet peaked. Hello? These empty chairs are proof. Now, we don't just want full chairs. We want people off the chairs mobilized. Let's go to Matthew. I'm going to finish because I don't need to go into further. I think I'm making my point. And on this scripture, I'll finish. Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you, Peter, Jesus is having the conversation with Peter and he's responding to the question he's asked, who do people say I am? And here's Peter's response. This is open dialogue that Jesus is having with Peter, and here's the, we're cut in the middle of the conversation and then we zoom in and we hear, and I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And I believe that at the moment Jesus was pointing to himself. There's a visual aid going on here. On this rock, you'll build a church. I'll build a church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Why? Because he saw Satan fall like lightning. He knows that Satan is not in the position he once was. And he knows his name and his power, it's his name and his glory, and he's all powerful, that Satan and his mission nowhere near compares to what Christ has established. So now he's putting ground troops on the ground to rule in the heavenlies and on the earth. Now the believer is going to rule in two domains. He's going to rule in the second heaven and the third heaven. Is that right? First? I was getting mixed up with heavens. Going to rule in two domains. You're going to, what you bind in the heavens, you're going to bind on the earth, and what you loose, vice versa. So you're now going to have a dualistic approach, because we're now going to go to the summit, but we've got to rule in two domains. The summit is a two-lane domain, because if now unto him who is able to keep me from falling and able to keep me in his presence, the presence is a spiritual domain. So I know my warfare is not against flesh and blood. Right, so it's a spiritual domain. But I know that the spiritual domain wants to manifest through the natural domain. Right? So I have to learn to rule and ascend the summit in two domains. Does this make sense? This is why, guys, coming to church is bare minimum. You've got to rule and reign in your own heart. First domain, the physical. You've got to pray in the spirit on all occasions, which is another domain. What you want to do and I want to do, we want to ascend in this domain, but descend in this domain. And we wonder why we can't climb the summit, or using Paul's illustration, him going round and round. He's a believer, he loves the Lord. He's a believer, he loves the Lord. He's a believer, he loves the Lord. He's a believer, I love the Lord. Yeah, and I saw his face, now I'm a believer. No doubt in my mind, I'm in love. And that's his song. But then he comes to me, and then he goes, and now I saw his face, now I'm a believer. When he's took hold of me and I've took hold of him, his song changes. And now he says, son, if you want your natural life to progress and go to the summit, you cannot do it without the Spirit. Because if you take hold of the Spirit, you take hold of me. Don't think you can ascend over here. And I'm with you. Because it's not level. We've got to, when I'm in the Spirit, we're level. But so many Christians are going ahead, but yet spiritually, they're going the other way. So what happens when you go the other way? I'll tell you what happens. God leaves you to your own desires. And you call it God. But it's not. Why? Because the spirit man is so far behind. Am I helping anybody here this morning? The spirit man has to go with you. He has to lead. The spirit man, take the spirit man, develop the spirit man. That's what it means for Christ to have taken hold of you. You accepted Christ, but now Christ has to take hold of you. Not you do your own thing and the spirit dimension subside and descend, because that's not the place. Summit. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I now press on, straining. Let's stand to our feet. Just go with me back to Jude. I want to make your confession again, if you will. Yeah, you got different versions. It's okay. You read your version, that's okay. I was going to put it up on a slide, actually, but Jude says, now to him, that's the source, the primary source. The primary source called Moses up the mountain. It's calling you up the mountain. It's calling you to the summit, to the very thing that Christ took hold of you for. That's calling to you. I took hold of you for this. That's what Christ has taken hold of you for. You've got to find out what Christ has taken hold of you for and then dedicate your life to that direction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling. That's one dimension. Then to present you. Presenting you is another dimension. Present you before his glorious presence. You must present yourself before his presence, and he'll present you in the Holy of Holies. You take you first, and then let the Holy Ghost present you behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, where you see and capture vision of him in a different place. Without fault. And if you are at fault, you can just repent and say, Lord, cleanse me. And with great joy. Get the joy back in your life. As you're climbing the mountain, though you're straining sometimes, get some joy in your life. I don't mean happy. Happy is not joy. Happy is circumstantial. Joy is deep. It's internal. I know why I do it. And to God, our Saviour, with glory, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, is recognizing who the primary source is. My Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore, I wonder if you would be interested in praying that prayer with me. Lord, keep me from falling. First of all, acknowledge that he has kept you from falling. I want you to say, go on, just go and say, Lord, I thank you. You are my primary source. Thank you that you have kept me from falling. I could have been finished. I could have been over. Lord, keep me in your presence. Come on, ask him. David said, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. David understood the power of remaining in your presence. If you're genuine and sincere in this area, just say, Lord, keep me in your presence. Let me keep ascending the mountain. Keep speaking to me. Don't leave me, O God. Don't ignore me. Don't cast me aside, O God. Keep speaking to me. Keep calling me. Keep calling. Let me hear your voice. Speak to me, O God. Present me. Keep presenting me. As I keep presenting myself to you, you will present me before the Father, before the Son, before the Holy Ghost, in the presence of the angels. I will come to Zion. I will come to Zion. You'll bring me and appear. I will appear. And you present me in Zion to the company of angels, to a place where a better word is spoken, to a place where the myriad of angels sing. And now, O God, I declare, my Saviour, be glory, power, and majesty and authority through Jesus Christ. Lord, before all ages and now and forevermore. Lord, this is my prayer to you this morning. Keep me from falling. Keep presenting me in your presence. Remain my primary source. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' holy name. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Heaven heard your confession this morning. Amen. Hold to your confession this morning. Present yourself tomorrow before his presence and say, Lord, here I am, first day of the summit. First day of the new day. I know it's going to be busy tomorrow, guys, but find place, find a time. Here I am, oh God, day one. I'm on the summit. I'm not on the summit, I'm climbing the summit. Take hold of me, Lord. That's all he's asking. Amen.